like to turn to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Again, this is a psalm of David, and like many of the psalms, we do not know the precise occasion of its writing, but it does follow a very familiar storyline of David's psalms, which is David is in trouble, great trouble, and the Lord, by His almighty power and amazing grace, delivers him. That seems to be a storyline of many of his psalms. In verses 1 through 3, he again speaks of his personal experience of the Lord's deliverance. He describes his trouble as being in a deep and horrible pit, sinking down in the miry clay. And he says that while he was in that pit, he cried out to God. He waited upon the Lord. And of course, in the Lord's time, the Lord lifted him up out of that pit, set his feet upon a rock, making his footsteps firm, and filled his life with a song. And all this, of course, is very real to David. In verses 4 through 10, we see his heartfelt response to that deliverance from the Lord. It is a response of trust in the Lord, as we see there in verse 4. In verse 5, it is a response of absolute amazement to the Lord's doings in his life. And in verse 6, he feels an obligation to the Lord, an obligation to serve the Lord. And then in verses 7 through 10, we see there's a personal aspiration and a resolve to serve the Lord with his life. And again, this is the effect, this is the impact that God's deliverance had upon David. In verses 11 through 15, after he's acknowledged God's deliverance of him, and again his heart is filled with wonder concerning what God has done, he's filled with aspirations for God, he still feels an ongoing need of the Lord. He expressed that need in verse 1. And he prays concerning this need. In verse 11 and 12, he says, "Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord." He's praying, "Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. The reason for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. And they are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me." So God's deliverance caused him to look into the future, or go into the future with God. And then coming to verse 16, he encourages God's people to rejoice, to be glad, to have an attitude of desiring for God to be glorified. And then in verse 17, he expresses a personal conviction and prayer. And that is the verse we want to preach from this evening. Verse 17, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tearing, O my God." In these words, David makes a confession concerning himself, "But I am poor and needy." He also makes a confession concerning the Lord, "Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer." So that's a statement of faith. And then he follows that with this prayer. Make no tarrying, O my God. So what David is expressing in these words, first of all, is his own insufficiency in and of himself. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord. Then he declares God's sufficiency. So in these words, David is confessing, and he demonstrates in prayer his very deeply rooted belief of his desperate and ongoing need of the Lord. What David confesses and demonstrates in this verse is really the foundation of the Christian life. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord. There's an insufficiency in and of ourselves and a sufficiency in God. That's a foundation. It's a foundation to our life. It's a foundation to what we practice. And it certainly is a foundation to a healthy, ongoing relationship with the Lord. And it ought to be the ongoing confession of ourselves, what we read here in this verse. So we want to speak tonight on I need thee always in everything. I need thee always in everything. First of all, we want to consider the confession that the psalmist makes in this verse, and that'll be most of the message. But first of all, there's a confession concerning himself. Again, keep this all in the context. In the context of his personal experience of the Lord in his life, he's in this pit, or he was in this pit, and God has delivered him. And in the context of that personal experience, the context of God's deliverance, he says, I am poor and needy. Also considered in the context of his aspirations. Remember, he aspires to serve God. He's resolved to serve God. And in that context, he says, I am poor and needy. So David had come to know, he had come to understand and believe about himself, I am poor and needy. That is something we need to know. That is something we need to understand. That is something that we must always believe. I am poor and needy. Now David repeats this phrase in some other psalms. Notice in Psalm 70 and verse 5. Psalm 70 and verse 5. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. So you see, I am poor and needy. And then that was followed by a prayer or a plea. In Psalm 86 and verse 1. Psalm 86, verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me. So that's his prayer. Then he gives the reason. For I am poor and needy. So once again, it's connected to prayer. We're seeking the Lord. In Psalm 109, in verse 22, Psalm 109, verse 22. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. And then you can read on, but we see he continues to express his state or his condition at that time. I am poor and needy. What does David mean by that statement? Because in some ways, David was not poor. Certainly as a child of God, blessed of God, we're not poor in that way. But he says in his Psalms, I am poor and needy. So what does he mean? Well, I believe it has to be taken in the context of in and of himself. I am poor and needy. There is a sense in which you and I are rich beyond measure in God's blessings and all the blessings of salvation. And there is a sense in which God has fulfilled all our needs. We need nothing. But David says, I am poor and needy. When he says, I am poor, he is saying, because he's making two statements here, they're connected. I am poor and needy. Poor and needy. Two different things. So when he says, I am poor, he is saying, in and of myself, I am impoverished. That's what it means to be poor. In and of myself, I am destitute. In and of myself, I am defective. In and of myself, I am faulty. I am imperfect. The truth is, in and of ourselves, we're abysmal. Unacceptable. I am poor. In and of myself, in and of ourselves, we are unacceptable. We are deficient. We are lacking. That's what it means to be poor. We are weak. So he says, I am poor. In and of himself, he is poor. That is his state. That is his state. He is saying, no matter where I am, no matter what the situation or circumstance, no matter what the time, in and of myself, I am poor. Now the second part of that confession, needy, is really the result of being poor. If one is poor, they also have need. But they have need because they're poor. So I am poor and needy. He is saying, because of my state, my situation is one of difficulty. To be needy is to be in a difficult circumstance or situation. Because of my condition, that is poverty within myself, I am needy, or I am in trouble. I have hardship. I have distress. There's a crisis, an emergency. Because of my poverty, I have an absolute necessity. So David says, I am poor and needy. And in that statement, he is confessing both his state, poverty, and his condition, needy. But it is in the context of in and of himself. So David, reflecting upon what God has done for him and what he has learned by his experience of God and what he has learned by his experience of himself and of life, makes a very simple confession of deep-rooted conviction. I am poor and needy. It's as if he is saying at the end of this psalm, this is what I have learned from being in the pit and experiencing God's deliverance. This is what I have learned. After all, he didn't get himself out of that pit. He didn't set his feet on the rock. He didn't create the song. God did that. So he's saying, in and of myself, I have learned that I am poor. That's my condition. Because of that, my situation, or that's my state, and because of that, my condition is I am needy. He is saying, this is my confession. Whatever else might be true, as for me, in and of myself, I am poor and needy. Now, every one of us that are saved, learn that lesson at salvation. You're not saved without learning that lesson. We learn that we are bankrupt spiritually, and because we are bankrupt spiritually, we have a need. So we learn that lesson at salvation. I am poor and needy. But that is a truth that we must always be conscious of. A truth that we must always be aware of. I am poor and needy. That is to be a reality in our lives. In and of myself, I am poor and needy. As a child of God, in Jesus Christ, I am rich beyond measure. But in and of myself, I'm poor and needy. And the truth of that statement, Christ, of course, declared in John 15 and 5, speaking concerning you and I, he said, without me, you can do nothing. And that's just like saying, you are poor and you are needy. Without me, you can do nothing. He's expressing what David expresses here in verse 17 of our text. The insufficiency of man and the all-sufficiency of God. I am poor and needy. We must not be afraid to be honest about our state, about our condition, in and of ourselves, left to ourselves. Left to ourselves, we are poor and needy. So David, with these words, is expressing, this is who I am. I am poor and needy. This is what I am. This is who and what I am in myself, apart from God. He is saying, because of what I am, in and of myself, I need God. I need God. We must be aware of that every moment of our lives. I need God. In ourselves, in every way, at all times, we are poor and we are needy. This is true of us physically. We're creatures of dust. We read in Acts 17 and verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. We are in absolute need of God for our physical being. Completely dependent upon God for our breath. I am poor and needy. This is true emotionally. Oh, how fragile we are. How easily our spirits rise and how easily our spirits fall. We are poor and needy emotionally. We're in absolute need of God physically. And we are in absolute need of God emotionally. I am poor and needy. This is true spiritually. We were born in spiritual bankruptcy, and by our own folly and waywardness and sin, we were in a pit of our own making, and we were sinking in the mire. But God came where we were in that pit, lifted us out. And if it were not so, we would still be in that pit, every single one of us. And there is no pit more awful than the pit of sin of a lost sinner. And that is where you and I would still be were it not for God. But though we have been rescued from the pit, as you see here in the psalm, he's rescued from the pit, but by the time you get over to verse 12, he's back into some trouble. Innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. I'm not able to look up. So you see, he's been delivered, but it doesn't take long. He kind of wanders back into trouble. And we're no different. Though we've been delivered and rescued from the pit that we were born in, we still have a tendency to wander into the pits of sin. And many of those pits, again, of our own making. What does this teach us? It teaches us that we are in need of God every day, in every way. We are in need of God spiritually. So when David confessed, "I am poor and needy," he is declaring his always so, everywhere so need of the Lord. He is saying, "I need God." Now, most of us here tonight have come to understand and believe about ourselves that we are poor and needy. I don't think I have to convince anyone here that's saved that we are poor and needy in and of ourselves. We feel that every single day. So we need to ask ourselves a question. How did we come to this conviction that I am poor and needy? Because I tell you right now, it wasn't by nature. This is not where we began. It's not where we began. By nature, we came forth speaking lies. By nature, we came forth telling ourselves the very opposite of "I am poor and needy." Telling ourselves that we can do it on our own. We don't need God. I can do it on my own. But the grace of God that brings salvation leads and teaches us to repent of our native pride, native independence, self-sufficiency, arrogance, delusions, and say with hearts full of conviction, in and of myself, I'm nothing. I'm poor. In and of myself, I need God. It's always so. And it's so in everything. I am poor and needy. God uses His Word as a mirror to show us this truth. How many times we have looked into this book and it acts like a mirror and it shows us and it convicts us, I am poor and needy. But there is no poverty so deep that God isn't the answer for. God's Word convicts us of that truth. God also uses the pits of life to show us this truth. Because we do need to be reminded that I am poor and needy in and of myself. And sometimes God in His providence will allow us to be in a pit for a while to show us that we are poor and needy. God comes to our rescue. He doesn't leave us in that pit. But He comes to our rescue time and time again to show us that He's what we need. To show us that He is our sufficiency. So we're to live in this truth. I am poor and needy. I always and in everything need God. That's where we're to live. That is to be real to us. That is a good place to live. I need God. That's a good place to live. That is a healthy place to live. That is a wise place to live. I need God. That is a safe place to live. It is a useful place to live. May I say it's a happy place to live. I need the Lord. I need God all the time. That is a very happy state to live in. It is living in this place that we realize I always and in everything need God. And realizing that, it gives us a hunger, a yearning for the one we need, and causes us to seek Him. I am poor and needy. The realization that I need God always and in everything, there's blessing there. We are abundantly blessed living in the reality of I need God. We need to be continually convinced. We can't become like the Laodiceans. I have need of nothing. Everything is fine. Everything will not be fine until we get to glory. Until then, in and of ourselves, we are poor. God is sufficient. He has everything to meet our poverty. Therefore, we are needy of God. I am poor and needy. Or because of what and who I am, I always and in everything need God. Also, in light of this, consider his confession concerning God. He does not stop in verse 17 with, I am poor and needy. Verse 17 does not just read, I am poor and needy, and a period, and that's it. That would be a miserable place to stop. I am poor and needy. If that's where it stopped, that would be a hopeless place. But that's not where it stops. And if that is as far as we get, I'm poor and needy, that fills a life with despair. If that's as far as you get, but there's more to the story. Again, it does not stop with I am poor and needy. But there is a word following that statement to introduce hope. I am poor and needy, yet. That is an introductory word to introduce hope, to present hope to us. The word yet means nevertheless or in spite of. I am poor and needy, but in spite of my poverty, in spite of my need because of that poverty, yet. And then what follows that is our hope, the Lord. Yet the Lord. In ourselves, poor and needy. But don't stop there. Read on. Yet the Lord. You notice here that the focus has changed. When he says, I am poor and needy, the focus is on himself. But when he says, yet the Lord, the focus has changed. The focus has now changed. His attention is now upon the Lord. In ourselves, poor and needy. But then we read, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. In spite of my poverty, in and of ourselves, in spite of all of our needs, the Lord thinketh, and it's very personal here, he says, the Lord thinketh upon me. There's a lot of consolation in those words. But we need to ask ourselves, how does the Lord think upon us? How does God think upon us? For the Lord merely to think upon us as who and what we are in ourselves, there's no comfort there. In fact, that's pretty fearful. If that's the only way that God thinks upon us, or if that is how God thinks upon us, what we are in and of ourselves, that's not comforting. So, how does he think upon us? Well, he thinks upon us favorably. He thinks upon us favorably. How does he do that? How does God look down upon me or you, see all of our poverty in and of ourselves, see all of our shortcomings and our failures, and think upon us in a favorable way? He does so in his Son. Again, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, we are accepted in the Beloved. He thinks upon us in his Son. And he does this eternally, before the foundation of the world. And he does so personally. The Lord thinks upon me favorably. The Lord thinks upon you favorably as a child of God. Not because we've done something, but because of Jesus. Because of him. So all of this is grace. So when David says, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me, is he not convinced of God's grace in his life? He is convinced that God has been gracious to him. And I personally cannot think of a greater motivation to serve God than grace. What a motivation to be what we ought to be and to do what we ought to do. So David is saying here, he is saying, this is what I've learned. In and of myself, I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. And I always and in everything need him. But notice, again, it does not stop with the Lord thinketh upon me. He saw God as relative to his life. He's speaking to God, beginning with the next word, thou art. He just makes a statement in the beginning of the verse, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. That's a statement. But now he's speaking to God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Thou art. God doesn't just think upon me. He is something to me. Thou art, present tense, my personal help. We're poor and needy. And God is our personal help. That is, he's the one who gives assistance. He's the one who comes to our aid. He's the one who supports us and relieves us and alleviates. Thou art my help. David is saying, this is what I have learned. In and of myself, I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord is my help. In other words, yes, I am poor and needy in and of myself, but the Lord is everything I need. And therefore, I need him in everything. And may that always be real to us. Yes, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me favorably because of Jesus Christ. And he is my help. But it doesn't stop there. And my deliverer. First of all, for someone to deliver you from a situation, from a trouble, they must be willing to do so. They must be willing to do so. If someone rescues you, they must be willing to do that. So if he is our deliverer, that tells us, number one, he is willing to deliver. He was willing to deliver us from the pit in our salvation. Since then, we have wandered into many a pit, and God has been willing to deliver. But since he is our deliverer, it not only means that he is willing, it also means that he is able. He is able to deliver. He is able to rescue. He's willing, and he is able. That means, how able is he? Well, he must be stronger than whatever he's delivering us from. He must be greater than whatever it is that he is, that whatever it is that holds us. So it does, whatever pit we may fall into in our lives, or if you're here and lost, you are in the most awful of pits. But God is the deliverer. He's willing to deliver from that pit. And he is able, and he is the only one who is able to deliver from the pit of sin. And he's the only one who's able to deliver from the pits of life. So David is saying here, this is what I have learned by my experience of God and by the experience of life. This is what I've learned. In and of myself, I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord, he's my deliverer. David is saying, I have learned, I am going to get myself in situations that I can't get out of, in and of myself. But I've learned this, I need God, and he is my deliverer. So you consider David's confession concerning himself, I am poor and needy. Concerning the Lord is gracious. That needs not only to be our confession, but it needs to be our conviction throughout our life. In and of myself, I fail. Yet the Lord. I love those three words. Yet the Lord. It's just as good as but God. Yet the Lord. How many times in our lives we can look at our lives and say, Yet the Lord. I did such and such, yet the Lord. This again is the foundation of a healthy, ongoing relationship with the Lord. And then lastly, very quickly, we see the demonstration of his confession and conviction, what it led him to do. Again, we see with the words, thou art, he's talking to God. But his request is this, make no tarrying, O my God. Make no tarrying. He feels so poor and so needy of God. He feels such a desperate need of God, he says, God, please, do not delay. I need you. Make no tarrying. And then that is followed by that word, that interjection, oh. Again, to express emotion. So this is an emotional prayer. Make no tarrying. I am so needy. I am so poor. God, you must not delay. You must come to my aid. Oh my God. Again, it's personal. Knowing that in and of himself that he's poor and needy. And believing what he did concerning God, that God is mindful of him, that God is his help, that God is his deliverer. Now, if you believe those things, you believe that you're poor and needy, and you believe that God is your help and your deliverer, what are you going to do? You're going to cry out to him. Every single time. Every single time. And that's what he does. Make no tarrying. Oh, my God. So he earnestly seeks the Lord. He's moving in the direction of God. As you read the psalm, you see the whole psalm. He's moving in the direction of the Lord. And he's doing so with a sense of urgency. The psalm began with a sense of urgency, and it ends with a sense of urgency. And there's a sense of urgency there in verse 12 and verse 13. But it was all based upon this conviction that in and of myself, I can't do it. But God is my sufficiency. And therefore, he came, he knows I need God, and he cries out to the Lord. So may we get up every day. May we go through the day, realizing that because of who and what we are apart from God, we are always in need of God. And in everything, we need God. That being true, and being true that God is everything we need, or has everything we need, all of that being true, the natural result is we seek him. We seek the Lord. We just seek the Lord in everything. We need to do that individually. We need to do that. And if we do it individually, we'll do it collectively. But may that always be true of us, that we realize in and of ourselves we are insufficient. But God is our sufficiency. Paul spoke of that in 2 Corinthians. Insufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Isn't that good to know? That we have a God who is everything we need. Whatever situations people find themselves in, I am 100% convinced that God is what they need. God is the answer. It's true of my life, it's true of your life, it's true of everyone's life. God is the answer. There's no need to look for answers anywhere else. He's the answer. He's our help. He's our deliverer. What a gracious, loving, long-suffering, kind, compassionate God that we have. Amen. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry will lead us in song. 160.